The scripture reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. We'll read, and then we will have special music, and then the next voice that you will hear will be that of Sister Trant as she brings us her testimony. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading from the New King James. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I should tell you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Oh, let me walk with thee, my God, as Abraham walked in days of old. Place thou my trembling hand in thine, and sweet communion with me hold. Even though the path I may not see, O Jesus, let me walk with thee. I cannot, dare not walk alone. The tempest rages in the sky. A thousand snares beset my feet. A thousand foes are lurking nigh. Still the raging of the sea, O Master, let me walk with thee. If I may rest my hand in thine, I'll count the joys of earth but loss, and firmly, bravely journey on. I'll bear the banner of the cross till Zion's glorious gates I see. O Savior, let me walk with thee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask before I say anything that you pray with me again. Father in heaven, I just praise you for the privilege of being able to speak to your people. And I ask that you would hide me fully behind your cross, that you would give me the words, that you would open all of our hearts to hear the message that you have for us, that you would reveal yourself as who you really are, a father of love, of mercy, of grace and kindness, that our lives would be changed forever and ever. Amen. The title, Relentlessly Pursued by God, Our Abraham Experience. I would like to present to you today a picture of a God who doesn't just sit in heaven idly watching what happens in our lives. This is not a God disconnected from what we're experiencing, but I'd like to present to you today a God who pursues us, not one who just follows us, but one who pursues his children relentlessly. A question for you: have you ever pursued anything or anyone? Thank you. Okay. Second question: do we really understand what that means to pursue and to do it relentlessly? Well, let's look at that. I decided I wanted to look up the meaning of these two words, pursue and relentless. And although I should not be surprised, I realized after I had spoken these words that this is exactly what God was doing with me. Pursue does not really mean to follow. Pursue means to chase, to track, to seek. And relentless means showing no signs of slowing down or surrendering one's purpose. Have you pursued? Have you pursued relentlessly? And do we look at God as one who pursues us in a relentless manner? Not willing to surrender his purpose. I ask that as I share my testimony today, that you keep this thought in mind about God, that this is the picture we have of God, one who is relentlessly pursuing us. I'll read again the scripture verse, that this also would stay fresh in your mind. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And I want to pause here. I don't know about your version, but my version says Abraham with an exclamation point. In other words, God wants his attention. And Abraham said, God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. And I want to make that point, your only son, Isaac. And God says this next section, whom you love. And he says it because God knows Abraham, and he knows Abraham loves his son Isaac. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I have often wondered what on earth Abraham was thinking when God had presented this to him. Remembering that Isaac was a gift, a very, very special gift from God. Given to him by God. No coincidence, I think you all know me well enough to know that I don't believe in coincidences anyway, but Isaac was surely no coincidence. And after receiving that blessing, he's at a point right now where God is asking him to sacrifice his son and give up this miraculous blessing that he has given him. Have you been there? Have you felt that? I'll share my testimony. I can identify. As all of you know, about 7 or 8 months ago, my son Joshua was diagnosed initially with what we thought was epilepsy, which was shocking enough, at the age of 13, kind of unusual. About a month later, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. The seizures, what they think were being caused by a brain tumor. That was a lot. I don't know of anyone who's prepared for that, whether it be brain tumor, cancer, this, that, to name a few. I want to say after I absorbed some of that, but that wasn't the stage I was at. I was walking through that process a bit numb, almost in a comatose state, I would say. And one day, it was here, it was on a Sabbath afternoon, and I was sitting downstairs at potluck, and one of my friends, Helen, I hope you don't mind me sharing your name, Helen was asking me about what was going on. And at this point, we had basically been faced with making a decision. Do we keep our son is now on anti-seizure medication with an unsure diagnosis of what this particular mass was in his brain, and we could leave him on this medication for the rest of his life and watch and wait, see what happens, hope it doesn't grow, doesn't spread, that it's not cancer. Or we could do brain surgery. Not the best of choices. Wasn't so sure what to do. So I was sharing this with Helen, and she was listening, giving some advice. But as I shared something she said that I'll never forget, she looked at me and said, "Wow, Lise, I can't help but think about Abraham when you tell me about this story." And you know when you hear something and it goes in there, it rattles around, and it sort of comes back out, and it hasn't quite registered yet? That's what happened. It was there. I heard it. I had no idea what that was going to mean over the next few months of my life. At our conversation, feeling a bit overwhelmed, a bit emotional, we ended and decided to go up to have choir practice, as per usual. Got upstairs, started to sing. I don't know if I made one line that came out, and emotions took over, and it was time for me to vacate the sanctuary. So I left, made it as far as the stairs, and plopped myself down and started to have a good cry. Don't worry, the story will get better. So, as I sat there, I felt an arm slip around my shoulder, and I looked to see another friend. As Pam just sat there holding me, allowing me to cry, and to cry very hard. So I cried, and I shared, and she listened for a long time. As I talked about what was going on, similar to what Helen and I had shared. And Pam was not part of the conversation that happened downstairs, but something amazing happened. And she said to me, "You know, Lise, I can't help but think about Abraham when I hear your story." And at that moment in time, every word that Helen said registered and resonated in my head. And I realized, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And I looked at her and I said, "No." I distinctly remember the words I said were, "No. God cannot be asking me to have that kind of faith. Not that." Because we'll go back, I want to backtrack for a minute and say, I've always loved the story of Abraham. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But I distinctly remember this part of the story being the part that you kind of skirt around. Don't want to read that too much. That doesn't apply to me. And those prayers that you kind of say in your head, but you don't say them loud enough, because maybe if I don't say them loud enough, God won't hear it either. That kind of thing, that don't ask me to have that kind of faith, God. Not like that. Don't ask me to give up the one person or the one thing I love the most, okay? We'll have that kind of relationship, and it'll all be good. So now as I hear this, my response was just no. Not that kind of faith. And Pam reassured me, yes, that kind of faith. She reassured me also with, no matter what decision that I made, God was going to be with me. There was no wrong decision. And I rolled around the idea of, I'm just a parent, I'm not a doctor. How do I make that decision? How do I make that choice for my son's life? And it's amazing how you can feel like you have so much control over a situation, yet you absolutely have none at the same time. And she made the point to me that I had two choices to make. We could leave him on medication or we could have surgery. And the one decision I had some control over, which we all like, right? And the other decision I had to completely leave in God's hands. And I had to trust him with every fiber of my being, with the child, just like Abraham, that I love so much. So I left there that day, pretty much knowing in my heart what I had to do and not liking any bit of it. So the next day went on as usual. Went to work, came home, sat down to fold some laundry, watched my usual TV show. I'd already seen that one, decided to flip through some channels that I never normally watch, and lo and behold, here's some Christian channel I didn't know existed, and what's on TV? The story of Abraham. Oh no, God, really? You can't be talking to me. There must be some reason I shouldn't watch this. It's late, I need to go to bed. It'll be secular. It'll be distorted. There's something. There's some good reason why I can't watch this. But the funny thing was, I couldn't turn it off once it was on. And I watched from beginning to end, and the amazing thing was, I saw this completely different picture of Abraham than the one that I knew from the Bible. This Abraham that I kind of had on this pedestal, that had this tight, close relationship with God, that knew him inside and out. That wasn't the Abraham I saw that night. I saw an Abraham who was confused. I saw an Abraham who questioned God, who wasn't sure about what God wanted for him, who made some bad decisions. I saw an Abraham like me. And I sat and watched that show and cried hard at the end of it. Knowing that God was really trying to tell me something. And still a bit unsure as to where he was going with this. Because I had a feeling this was bigger than brain surgery, and brain surgery is pretty big. So, life carried on again. A week or so went by. We went to the women's retreat. Had an awesome time. It was great, and I was asked to speak, take part in that. And because of everything that was going on, felt a bit unprepared. So, unfortunately, I missed Sabbath school because I was in my room trying to collect myself and get myself ready for my portion of that. Anyway, took care of that. And later on in the day, I had myself ready as to what I was going to say, and found out that my other good friend Monique had spoke during Sabbath school and spoke about Abraham. Only I missed it, because I wasn't there. But God in his mercy said, that's okay. Because when it's time for people to do the sermon, somebody else spoke about Abraham too. And I got to hear that. So I hid behind my folder, literally hid behind my folder, and cried a bit again, realizing at this point that God was on a relentless pursuit of me and was not showing any signs of slowing down. It's interesting. When God wants to make a point, he'll use any means he can to do it. So, I guess you'd think by now that I would kind of walk the straight and narrow path, right? The confusion would be gone. I'd see things as I should, but no. I was still walking in a confused state of mind, gripped by a tremendous amount of fear that I'd never felt before in my entire life, realizing that the serious condition that my son had was completely out of my control, and I had to surrender every bit of everything I knew to this God that I thought I knew, but now is calling me to surrender him and act like Abraham, and now I'm a bit confused, bewildered, stressed, not sleeping. The list goes on, and I'm sure there's many of you here that can identify with what I'm talking about. So at one point, the pastor calls to check on me, asked how I was doing. We had a conversation and was very blunt with me and said, "Lisa, I hope I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but there's something I need to say to you." He said, not to negate what's going on with Joshua, because yes, it's serious, but do you realize how many people would give their left arm to have a situation is what you have right now? Your son is alive. He can hug you. You can hug him. He can say, "I love you." You can say it back. And you're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow that you cannot live for today. And it was a sobering, sobering sentence. And I thanked him for that. I was not in any way, shape, or form offended. I thanked him because he was exactly right. I had let this thing consume me to the point where I could no longer live and function. And from that moment, I said, "Okay, God, let's live for today. Let's live for today." So from there, we made a decision that we would take a step based upon doctor's recommendation to have some further testing done that would help me make a decision to have surgery. That'll work. So we did that. We admitted Joshua in the hospital for 5 days, and I fully had high hopes. This is it. I'm going to be able to walk out of here. I'm going to say the words, because I could not utter the words. I literally could not say, "He's going to have surgery." And my son would ask me repeatedly, "Am I going to have surgery? I don't know. So we did 5 days of testing, which came back inconclusive and left us more confused than we were before. "Okay, God, what's going on? What are you trying to tell me?" Couldn't make a decision about having surgery again. Just can't bring myself to do it. Way too many unanswered questions. What about this? Maybe about that. And now we're left with, initially it was a one-step go-in procedure. After this testing that was supposed to clear things up, now we're going to end up having a two-step procedure. We're going to have two surgeries. We'll open him up, leave him exposed and the skull open for maybe 5 days or so, possibly expose him to infection. And we're not sure how much brain tissue we're going to remove from your son. Okay. It's not going the way that I planned. Still wasn't having a real easy time making that decision. So I didn't. I didn't make one. Which essentially was making one. I chose not to do it. At least for the time being. Went back to see the neurologist. The neurologist saw our despair. And God chimed through again. And the neurologist said, "Would you feel better if you had a second opinion? Anybody here remember talking to me about a second opinion?" "Thank you. I know there's more. It's okay if you want to be shy. It's all right." Multiple people had talked to me about a second opinion, but I had been so gripped by fear and so consumed by this process that I hadn't brought myself to the courage to do that. And again, God in his mercy stepped in and said, "I see what needs to be done, so I'll place the words in the doctor's mouth, and I'll have him ask you if you want the second opinion." And he did. So we put that plan in place, scheduled that appointment, and that doctor guaranteed me and said, "I guarantee you when you go to Boston, things will be different. You'll leave there having a definitive answer and you'll know exactly what you need to do." Sure enough, he was right. But during that time frame, it was quiet. It took about 2.5 months or 3 months for us to get an appointment. So there was a waiting period, a waiting time, and the questioning, "Where are you, God? Was this really what you wanted?" That happened. We backpedal sometimes. God just opens a door and we get confused because things don't go exactly how we want, right? Don't lose sight of those. Remember, sometimes we have to wait. But when you wait, trust me, it's worth it. So we walked in and saw this doctor. It was like night and day. The answers were straightforward. And it was a one-step procedure. We'll go in, we'll operate, we'll remove the tumor, we'll do an MRI in the OR room. One step. One step. Okay. I left, I looked at my son, and I said, "Joshua, looks like you're having surgery." First time in about 4 months I could utter those words. Because when God does something for you, and when God gives you something, he gives you the best. He'll give it to you in a way that you will have no second guessing, no question marks, and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. It's the only way I can describe that. Okay, decision made. Surgery scheduled. Now I need to schedule the surgery, and I don't know if my insurance is going to pay for that. That's expensive. It's brain surgery. That's expensive. So again, God's calling me to have some faith. Because I keep trying to talk to these people at the hospital, and they say, "Don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. You just schedule the surgery, and we'll submit the request to your insurance company." Okay, you gonna call me and let me know? "Oh no, we don't do that. If you don't hear from us, everything's okay." I really tried hard to tell them I don't work like that. I need to know it's okay. God said, "Step forward." So I scheduled the surgery and fasted and prayed. And I prayed specifically, "God, if this is your will for him to go to Boston, I'm asking you to open every door, to open every window, and let there be not one thing that stands in the way." That was my prayer. And I will tell you without a doubt, God opened every window, God opened every door, and there was not one obstacle that stood in the way. When God calls you to put your foot in the water and let him separate it, let him separate it. It's a whole different story than asking him. It's easy to walk through when you see the dry land. That's an easy walk. And not nearly as powerful as when you put your foot in and you watch God make the water move. So during this time frame when I had scheduled this surgery, and I was waiting to hear what was going on. It was a pretty short amount of time. It was only 2 weeks. So I knew things had to happen quickly. And I was feeling pretty good for the most part compared to how I'd been feeling over the past few months. And then something, as quiet as God had been, we'll say, because, you know, for a while we had that hard pursuit. Things felt a little quiet for a while. And again, I had been folding my laundry. Something about folding laundry, I guess. I'd been folding laundry. Exact same scenario, watching my show, had seen the episode and start flipping through with honestly no recollection of this previous incident as to what I was setting myself up for. Flipping through the channel and end up on the exact same channel, and what do you think is on? The story of Abraham. Now you'd think I'd just watch it, right? No, I wrestled again and said, God, I've seen this. What are you trying to show me? I don't need to watch this again. It's crazy, isn't it? Aren't we a bit crazy at times? So I actually went back and watched that repeated show that I was so desperately trying to get away from. But God would not let me watch that show in peace. He would not let me watch that show in peace. All that kept coming to my mind was Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And I said, okay, I'll turn it on. So I turned it on and I watched. And I watched right through to the end again and cried again. Because this time, when I watched it, I saw that God wanted to be my friend, just like he called Abraham his friend. And God was telling me, reassuring me, just like a friend does, don't be afraid. Walk forward. And was preparing me for something that I didn't know was going to happen. Because as good as I was feeling, within a day or two, as the surgery approached, my mind started doing what our minds do and started imagining every terrible situation that probably could happen. What if something goes wrong? What's the end result going to be? The idea of what was actually going to happen in surgery, and the anxiety began. Now, fortunately for me, I obeyed God when he said, watch Abraham. And I remembered that God said to me, walk forward and don't second guess the decision that you've made. Very distinctly, I knew that's what he was telling me, and I knew that's why he had wanted me to watch it again. Because sometimes God does things for us, and they're very real at the moment, but we forget. And let me tell you, God doesn't want me to forget anything about this experience. He's made that very plain and very clear. So that reassured me. I rested in him, and we walked forward again. And the next day, again, not just scared about his surgery, scared about the insurance, scared about, you know, just the anxiety of the whole process. I had called the hospital about something else unrelated, you know, FMLA paperwork, paperwork for Joshua for school, things like that, and just happened to say, by the way, how are things going with the insurance? Oh, we haven't heard anything. We don't have any news for you yet. So it's probably okay. And I think they forgot that I told them I don't work like that. So I said, okay. But God didn't forget. And the next day, my insurance company called me. And I wasn't really sure because what the hospital said is, you won't get a call unless something goes wrong. So when I saw the number, I thought, what's that mean? And the first words out of the nurse's mouth were, "Hi, Lisa. This is Kim from CDPHB. I'm calling to let you know that we have approved Joshua's surgery." Why am I sharing the details of what happened with you? Because God is in the details. Mm-hmm. And this is the God that I want you to see. I want you to see that God doesn't just look at the big picture. He looks at the minute details that we tend to overlook, that we tend to think maybe are not as significant to him. And everything that happens is significant to God. Yes. If you care, he cares. So we schedule surgery. We're ready to go. All windows and doors are open. I need a place to stay. Oops. I had not even thought about that. So I start looking and thinking, oh my goodness, $200, $300 a night? Hadn't planned for that at a hotel. That's expensive, and we're going to be there a week. Uh-oh. Well, okay. So I get on the website, start to look around, and I see Ronald McDonald House. But I see they only take patients that are being treated for cancer. Well, we don't know if it's cancer. So I just made up my own mind that they weren't going to take us. Because we're good at that, right? We like to make up our own mind. Okay, so I just threw that one, tossed it to the side. That wasn't an option. Kept looking at hotels and thinking about the cost. Presented to the church, please pray, because they don't know where we're going to stay. And just like God wouldn't let me watch my TV show in peace, God kept reminding me, call Ronald McDonald House. Call Ronald McDonald House. And again, finally I said, okay, I'll call Ronald McDonald House. And I call. And they weren't sure if they could take us, but they were sure that the Yawkey Family Inn could take us. And they were right next door. And they were $30 a night.
Amen. Amen.
So I called, and I had some anxiety about this because it was the same setup as a Ronald McDonald House. We'd have our own room, but we have to share bathrooms. We have to share living space. We have to share kitchen. You know, we like our creature comforts, right? We like our own space. How's this going to go? Booked the room. Said, okay, God, here we go. We got up there. And let me tell you, I had no idea what God had planned when he said, call Ronald McDonald House, and knew I was going to stay at the Yawkey Family Inn. Because the things I saw there and the people that I met have changed my life forever. I walked in this place, beautiful. It was an old fraternity house that has been converted over, and now they can fit 22 families in this place. Beautiful kitchen. Nice living room with all kinds of things for the kids, games and TV and quiet family room where they can read. It's beautiful. Clean as a whistle. I walked in and the first thing I saw was a little boy with a feeding tube up his nose that went down to his stomach, about 4 years old. Met another family with a little girl, 5, who has a rare disease that her body goes into like an anaphylactic shock and has had 5 surgeries and has been there for 2 weeks. 16-year-old boy who's had spinal surgery and is wearing a cage and will be there for 3 months in rehabilitation. Time to sober up. And I realized, wow, there's a lot of other people out there that got a lot of things going on, and I'm not here by accident. Pastor Brace, Linda's friend, pastor from Massachusetts, calls me the day I get there and lets me know we've been praying for you. Our church in Massachusetts has been praying for you. Can we come and, you know, like to come and see you? Made arrangements for him to come and see Joshua while he was there, which was of much comfort. And I'll get to more of that in a minute. The day of surgery, things go very well. As all of you know, I was texting, emailing, whatnot. Did their EEG and the MRI before surgery in the OR. Showed abnormal electrical patterns in the brain, just like it had been. So obviously, yep, something's there and something's wrong. Did the surgery. Did an EEG immediately after surgery. All abnormal electrical patterns are gone. Did an MRI. Tumor is completely gone. While my son is still open in the OR, no need for second procedure, no need to reopen. Things are good to go. Interesting part of this was when the doctor came out and sat with us and said, you know, we removed the tumor and did the EEG, and strangely enough, every bit of those abnormal electrical patterns were gone. So whatever was in there that was causing that is no longer there. Amen. And almost said it was surprise. And I thought, do you know my God? He can do that. Yeah. So Pastor Brace comes to see Joshua, comes to see me. We share a little bit. I tell him a very quick version of my Abraham story. And I said, it's amazing, but God is relentlessly pursuing me for some reason. And he looked at me with a smile on his face and said, that's interesting. You have quite the testimony that you'll need to share, Lisa. My son had brain surgery about 4 years ago, right up here in Boston, and he just wrote a book. The name of the book is Pursued by a Relentless God. And I said, whoa, really? Okay, God, I could use a chair about now because I think I need to sit. And I said, I'll need to get a hold of that book. And he said, I think I can get you one. So I went back to the Yawkey Family Inn that night, not wanting to leave my son, of course, after being there all day, but only one parent can stay. So his father did the night shift, and I did the day shift. And God is so good that even though I had to leave my son, I got back to the Yawkey Family Inn, and you could always count that someone, no matter what time of night it was, somebody be in the kitchen cooking, having some food, and just up sharing. Because everybody's kids are being operated on, everybody's kids are sick, you know, something's happening. And I went back and I saw this woman that I had seen there on a daily basis. And people were friendly, they talked to each other, but this woman, it was kind of always just a nod, you know. And I didn't know if she spoke English, she was from another country, it was obvious by her attire. And I wasn't sure, maybe she didn't speak English. And it was just her and I in the kitchen that night. And I was a bit tired and a bit weary from Josh's surgery and whatnot. And she looked over at me for the first time and asked me if I was okay. And I said, yes. And so I started talking with her and she started to share her story. She was here from India. She was probably in her 60s or 70s, all alone. Never been in this country, didn't know anybody. Her grandson was having surgery for moyamoya, which is a disease of having brain surgery. So we talked a bit, and she expressed how concerned she was for him. And, you know, her son and daughter-in-law were here in the States, but they had come from California, and I had met people from all over the world at this place. People from Florida, people from Wisconsin, people from Cincinnati, people from India, Egypt. And so as we talked, I wanted somehow to share some hope with her, you know, to tell her that there's a God in heaven that can heal her grandson. And I wasn't sure how to do that. I wasn't sure what to say to her. And God being the God that he is, after she started sharing with me, she looked at me and said, "But I pray to God." And I just praised God in my heart. And we started sharing and talking about God. So I went to bed, went back to the hospital the next day. Josh was moved to a regular room in the neurological unit. And Josh had just had it raised a question about, am I going to be, you know, alone? Am I going to have a room by myself, or do I have to share it with somebody, you know? And I think everybody, when you go in the hospital, you have these concerns. What's it going to be like? Who's my roommate going to be? So he had a roommate. He's a 16-year-old boy. Very nice family. His mom was there. And after we were there for a very short period of time, God decided he needed to reassure me again that he was there in that hospital room, just like he'd been in every other place that we were. And I heard them talking about Jesus. And they weren't talking a little bit about Jesus. They were talking a whole lot about Jesus over there. They were praying, and all the people that came to see them were talking about Jesus. And I just praise God with my heart, because these were just affirmations on a daily basis that he was walking that walk with me. And he wasn't just holding my hand, he was holding me up. And his father showed up, and, you know, he was there, and they were kind of getting ready to do a switch, but his dad was getting ready to leave, and I heard him say to his wife, "I'm going to church." And his wife yelled over, "Emmanuel, find out what his name is there. You put him on our prayer list." They were talking about my son. So we stopped and asked, and we chatted about Jesus, and we chatted about God, and he put my son on his prayer list. And I told him I'd pray for his son too. And if that wasn't enough, that night when I went back to the Yawkey family, and God gave me a whole new experience all over again, and I met somebody else whose daughter was born with 7 ribs missing on one side and no kidney, and has had 14 years of surgeries, and now has an esophagus that isn't attached to her stomach and is having surgery. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Let me tell you, the things you hear. And this woman was praising God, up and down praising God, telling us all about her walk with Jesus, all about how God just held them up and brought them where they were. So we had a good time and sat in that kitchen and talked about God again. Every day, God had something in store for me. Every single day, whether it be at the hospital, whether it be back at the inn, every day. Met a woman who had a daughter with 1/2 a heart, 2 ventricles instead of 4. She's 4 years old and said to me, "My daughter, I know my daughter will never have full life expectancy, but the joy that she has brought to my life and so many others, the way God has used her," and all she did was talk about God and talk about Jesus and how much she loved him. And I felt connected to these people. I felt like I belonged there. Felt like I knew God had brought me to this place to encourage me, to show me that he is in everything that we do. He is involved in everything we think about. That he has a plan, that he has a purpose, and that nothing he does goes, you know, is done in vain. Nothing. Nothing. So by the fourth day, when Josh was ready to go home, I should say by the third day, as most of you know, they had taken him off his pain medication 3 days after brain surgery, and he was just taking Tylenol. We were all pretty amazed, including the nurses. Just another testimony of God's power and what he could do. Doctor came to see him and was extremely pleased with Joshua's progress and released us and sent us on our way. And again, why have I shared all these details about what's happened? Because I believe God needs you to know that he cares about every intimate detail that happens in your life. Every day God provided someone or something to show me that he was there. And every experience for the purpose of increasing my faith and for the purpose of understanding exactly who he is. Because God no longer wanted me to pray prayers feeling like I was burdening him or I'm bothering him. But I came to understand that God actually delights in answering our prayers. It brings him joy. And I saw that. Why would God on a day-to-day basis bring every one of these people into my life to reassure me that he's there every day? Every day. It was like he would not leave me alone. Continuously reminding me, you are not alone. I'm here in the hospital. I'm here at the inn. I'm here in your car. I'm here at your work. I'm here in your home. I'm every place you live and breathe. Everywhere. And through this experience, I began to see a very, very different God than the God that I knew. This God that I thought I knew so well. I have a question for you. Have you had an Abraham experience? Or do you even want one? Has God asked you to lay someone or something on the altar? Has he asked you to trust him with every fiber of your being? I encourage you to trust him because he will never, ever keep something good from you, and he will never take something good away from you. When God says no, it's because it's not to our benefit. And it's also because he has something better waiting in store.
Amen.
I encourage you to obey him. Because when he asks you to do something, it's because he sees what we don't see. He sees the beginning to the end. And in his word, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And yes, this does mean our future for eternity, but I firmly believe it means our future here. While we're here, that God intends for us to be happy, and God has a purpose for our life. And I encourage you to love him, for he loves us with an everlasting love. I have at times wondered why God didn't just choose to heal Joshua. We had him anointed. I know I prayed. I know you prayed. We prayed for healing, right? I wondered that. But But during that time, I felt God needed me to pray for something else. Something bigger than that. What if God had healed Joshua immediately? What if that tumor had just gone away? I would have missed out on God's relentless pursuit of me. I would have missed every one of those experiences that I had along the way. I would have missed meeting all those beautiful people and seeing a whole nother world that I didn't know existed out there. And I might have actually missed meeting the God that has become my God, that I desire to be your God, that personal God that got involved in the details of my life, that has always been involved in the details, but that I just didn't see that way. So I encourage you to pay attention to the details in God's pursuit of you. Don't grieve an Abraham experience. Embrace it. God will never take us through something that he doesn't have a great ending for. I can guarantee you that. So if I may close with this. We started out talking about the words pursue and relentless, and the description of what that meant. Pursue was what? To chase, right? To seek. Relentless. Who remembers that? Anyone? Showing no signs of slowing down or yielding one's purpose. Or I'll rephrase that. Or surrendering one's claim upon us. So if I may present to you a God that is chasing us, relentlessly showing no signs of slowing down or yielding until he reaches his purpose for us, where he will not surrender his claim upon us. May this be the God that becomes your God. Amen.
Shall we stand? Drives it away. Not a
Praise you and how we thank you that you are a God that pursues us relentlessly, that you seek to save the lost. And I really pray, Lord, that each one of us will see that you are seeking us, Lord, that you are chasing after us because you love us, because you desire to be intimately involved in each one of our lives. Let us hear you. Let us trust you, obey you, and love you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessings.